This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
If I could come back as a pampered feline, lazy around all day, be fed gourmet food, showered with diversions and gifts, and receive only the best in healthcare, sign me up. In reality, too many of our cats don't agree they're leading an idyllic life. To their detriment, cats are masters at hiding the fact that they're really stressed out. How would you know your cat is stressed, and what can you do about it? You might think I would interview a behaviorist to answer these questions, but today I'm going to speak to a board-certified veterinary nutritionist, Dr. Rebecca Mullis, the Associate Manager of Scientific Affairs at Hills Pet Nutrition and adjunct faculty at Kansas State University College of Veterinary Medicine. We're going to be right back after this short break. Do you want a cat litter that absorbs odor-causing wetness like a parched desert cactus? Well, Arm & Hammer's got a litter for you. New Absorbix with desert dry minerals. Wetness disappears like a Texas raindrop on a hot tin roof. Odors? Adios. It's lightweight, lightning-fast, odor-absorbing desert dry cat litter. Get $4 off now at armandhammer.com/bounty. New Absorbix from Arm & Hammer. More power to you.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. Mullis, thank you for being with us today. Nutrition and stress, I think most people wouldn't think that they go together.
I definitely would agree with that statement. I think it's something that it's easy to think environmental only, and that is a huge component of managing stress, but there are some things we can do nutritionally, and it makes it a very interesting conversation.
All right. So first question, how common is stress in cats? I have two, and they really do look like they have a pretty cushy life. I just had a friend come over the other day, and I haven't seen the cats now for about 2 days. They're still hiding under the bed. So are mine the only crazy ones that are out there?
I don't have any exact answers on the percent of cats that are stressed, but I think most cats experience some kind of stress in their life. Just daily activity, whether it's people dropping packages off at the house or you have a visitor come in, they're going to experience some stress. Now, depending on the household and the cat, some of them are going to react very poorly and things are going to stress them out a lot more than others. But just thinking about my daily life, I have things that stress me, but I'm not stressed the entire day. So I think you can rest easy that most cats are not overly stressed 24/7, but I think most of them do experience some stress in their life.
So we have people coming over, Amazon right now with COVID, we get a lot of those deliveries at the front door. What are some of the other, say, major life changes? Things that, you know, a roommate comes and goes, or Amazon delivery guy comes and goes, but what are some of the other ones that may have a bit longer lasting stressful effect for these kids?
Yeah, so with cats, there can be a number of things, just the way the household is set up that can not necessarily cause just that overt, acute, sudden stress, but can maybe make them not as relaxed and comfortable as they could be. So things like litter boxes, if you have a number of cats and you only have one litter box, that could become a stressful situation for them. Not having their own place to use the bathroom where it's quiet, and some of them really like that clean litter box. So having another cat go in the litter box before them may make them a little more on the stress side. Not having enough interaction with people. So some cats really like and enjoy that quality time with the pet parent or pet owner. Things like food bowls being separate from the litter box. Now, they are curious. They like to explore. So having that enrichment in their life. So they may be indoor cats. They're not outside hunting. Not that I'm encouraging all of you to let your cats out and experience the danger of outdoors, but they need something to do in the house. So there are things you can do to have them hunt their food in little feeders. things like that.
I know sometimes clients will come in to me and, you know, you have this pregnant mother and she's bringing in the cats. Like, all right, let us talk about this new baby coming into the house, because right now your cat kind of thinks it's the baby because it's gotten all the attention, especially if this is baby number one. You know, this is the kitty. You are there to take care of the cat, hand and paw. And now all of a sudden there's this other thing that's in the house. Or again, right now with COVID, where so many of us are home, you know, my cats are looking at me and I'm sure they're saying, hi, can you leave for a while? Because I'm kind of getting tired of seeing you around the house. I know some people, you know, have their cats on their laps 24/7, but mine don't seem to do that. So are these fairly common stressors or major life changes for kitties?
Oh, absolutely. The changes in the household, the change in routine, it's stressful for us and also our cats. I know I just had a baby about 8 months ago, and I don't have cats, but I do have a dog, and that's an adjustment for my dog. And if I had a cat, I'm sure that cat would have an adjustment period as well. Just kids running around is an adjustment for everyone. On that cat may have loved one spot in the house, and now we have a toddler running around.
Things do change.
Love that,
yes.
Spot. And now that spot is no longer the favorite spot. They have to find a new one. So I think just having kids in the house can cause a little bit of stress. Depending on the cat, that may be something that they're not a huge fan of.
One of the things I know that I really wanted to do, and I am holding off doing it because with my two cats, my youngest one, she's a little space cadet. She does not handle changes in her environment at all. And I really want to remodel my bathroom, but it's like, nope, this is not going to happen. This cat is not going to ever come out from underneath the bed if I try to do that. So I think remodeling seems to be a problem. Parties, you know, we haven't had those in a while in our homes, thank goodness, because of COVID. But yeah, how can you tell, you know, for my cat, it's going to be hiding under the bed? What are some other signs that you can tell that your cat is being stressed?
Yeah, so I think the different things you'll see with your cat depends on if it's all of a sudden stress, like you have someone come into the house, or that more chronic problem where you're having your house remodeled for 6-8 weeks. They can start having a behaviors change. Now, if it's sudden stress, like all of a sudden you have guests over and someone runs in your house or walks in, depending if it's a child or an adult, you might see behaviors such as them crouching with their body right on top of all their legs. Sometimes they'll shake, not always, but they definitely don't want to have their belly exposed. Sometimes their breathing rate increases, so they have rapid breathing. Their tail's often close to their body. You can see their pupils very dilated when they're stressed. They might have their ears back, their whiskers back. Sometimes they'll even hiss or growl if they're really stressed. So I've seen cats that really hate the car ride to the vet, and they might be drooling from stress. Occasionally, they'll urinate or defecate. They could be aggressive if you approach them. So there's that sudden something has stressed them out right this second. But when you start having it over time, or just maybe the stress isn't too bad, you might see the cat hiding more. So they don't want to come out of the guest room when you have a visitor. Maybe they're resting more. They're not as playful. Maybe they're not eating as well. They're not grooming like they normally would. Sometimes it's inappropriate urination or defecation. So maybe they're urinating on your bed or on the bath mat. Sometimes it's over grooming or redirected aggression. So they're not necessarily attacking the stressful item or person, but they're attacking something else. So there can be a lot of different stress behaviors, and they're not going to be the same for all cats. So you're going to have to look at your cat and really say, is this abnormal from what I'm normally seeing them do?
It's interesting you bring this up, because I've had cats forever and ever, it seems like, and I am still always surprised at what they will do. It's like, really? So recently, I got my two cats into their carriers, going to take one in for a dentistry, and I thought I'd take the baby along just so it wouldn't be home by itself, and I could give it an exam and pretend, you know, that I wasn't the veterinarian at home. And the kitten got out, she's not a kitten anymore, the cat got out of its carrier. It's like, fine. And by this time, I didn't have a chance to stop, grab her up again, put her in her carrier. I said, fine, you can just stay home by yourself. Came home that evening. I hold her, comes through the door nice and calmly. The baby comes running to the door. And all of a sudden, it's like, who are you? And for 36 hours, she would have nothing to do with her sister kitty. She was hissing. She was hiding. She was like, really? I know you're a space cadet, but this is more than I expected. And then she settled down and life was good again. So cats in stress is amazing. But you mentioned urinating. And I thought it was interesting. I was reading a monograph put out by Hill's, seeing that there's really a connection, Hill's Pet Food Company, that there's really a connection between urinary issues and stress. And it's not just peeing out of the box. I'd love to have you tell us about that.
Yes. So cats can have urinary issues for a number of different causes. Yes, it could be behavior. They could have a problem. Sometimes it's a medical issue. But one of the terms that we use is feline idiopathic cystitis. So this is inflammation in the bladder. You'll see things like peeing out the litter box. Sometimes they can have bloody urine. They can be urinating small frequent amounts. So it's just abnormal from what they normally would be doing. And a lot of people jump to the, it is due to a urinary tract infection. But actually, yeah, if your cat's on the younger side, it's rarely a urinary tract infection. Older cats, it's more likely. But one thing we think about is that feline idiopathic cystitis. And it seems that environmental stress is a really big risk factor for this condition. So that urinating outside the litter box may be associated with stress and this disease process. And what they think, because we don't have 100% answer on the mechanism, but we think that environmental stress is causing the brain actually to increase stimulation to the bladder. And that bladder inflammation is increasing feedback to the brain. And that's amplifying the stress response because now this cat is painful. So this bad cycle is continuing, and our goal really has to be to break this cycle, to stop this perpetuating problem. And so that may be a combination of nutrition along with working with their environment to really reduce that environment that's causing that stress.
I love when you say that it's feline idiopathic cystitis, because that, I think, is one of my favorite terms in veterinary medicine as I'm trying to explain things to my clients and going, well, it could be this, 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 or it could be idiopathic. And if idiopathic sounds like idiot, because yes, that's how I can feel, I can run every test under the sun and come back going, huh, I have no idea what caused that one.
Yeah, and that makes it very hard as a veterinarian to diagnose it. You look at how old the cat is, what else is going on. You probably need x-rays to rule out a stone. You need a urinalysis to rule out an infection. But in the end, you're just ruling out all the other causes. So it can be challenging and frustrating for us as veterinarians and for the owners too, and probably for our cats who are having to go through all of this as well.
Cats and urinating and boxes, it's such an issue. Well, I'm chatting right now with Dr. Becky Mullis. She is the Associate Manager of Scientific Affairs at Hill's Pet Nutrition and adjunct faculty at Kansas State University College of Veterinary Medicine. We're going to stop for a short little break. We're going to be right back and talk more about these kitties who aren't peeing in their boxes and why.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Looking for a dental treat that does more for your dog? Daily Dose is a 2-in-1 chew that pairs a daily dental scrub with powerful supplements to help with the biggest health concerns facing our dogs. Daily Dose was developed by vets to be simple to use and super effective. Plus, dogs love the taste. Available for joint, skin, heart health, or calming. Daily Dose, your pet's daily dose of awesome. Visit yourpetsdailydose.com to save $3 on your first bag with promo code PETLIFE. That's yourpetsdailydose.com.
Are you listening to this right now with a cell phone clenched between your teeth as you frantically flip pages on your paper calendars? Or are you a new breed of groomer bred for speed and efficiency of movement? 1-2-3 Pet software automates your communications, doing the reminding, confirming, thanking, and marketing for you. 1-2-3 Pet centralizes your schedule, employees, clients, inventory, and more. 1-2-3 Pet is the business management software you need. Start minding your business today. Visit 123petsoftware.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Mullis, you had mentioned cats peeing on the bed or pooping on the carpet. Oftentimes people see that and they go, oh, they're doing it out of spite. Are cats really doing it out of spite?
No. Usually there's some kind of medical problem underlying it. And we mentioned the feline idiopathic cystitis, and that's what most of those cases are going to be. In studies looking at the whole cat population with urinary issues, that makes up about 2/3 of the cases. So most of the time, it's going to be that feline idiopathic cystitis. Now, a full evaluation by the vet is really going to be needed to determine that's what it is. But usually, it's not, they're spiteful, even though it does feel that way. When my sister called me and said she left a drawer open and the cat peed in the sock drawer, she definitely felt like the cat was doing it to spite her. But really, she had just moved to a new apartment. And that was probably a stressful situation. And later she found out that cat did have idiopathic cystitis.
And I think sometimes they like to smell our shoes. And even though the socks were washed, you know, it smells so much like us. So it's kind of like, I'm stressed. Okay, maybe this will make me feel better. Who knows what goes on between their ears? Are there other signs that you're going to see that your cat is stressed other than urinating when they're not supposed to?
Yeah, so obviously you can start seeing them hide more. You can see them. Sometimes you have aggression. Sometimes it's excessive grooming. Maybe they're not playing. Maybe they're not eating as well. So there can be a number of different things you can see if they're stressful, not just urination. That tends to be the one that gets the most attention by us and all the owners out there because it's disrupting our lives. We're having to clean up the mess. So that tends to be what sticks in our mind.
How do you know? You know, that's a question clients are always asking you. They don't want to come in every time a cat hiccups funny, but it's like, all right, you've waited maybe a little bit too long this time. Where's that tipping point? When do you say, yes, it is time to go see your vet?
So I think anytime you think your cat may be stressed, it's a great time to have that conversation with your vet to see if this is something that you really need to address and talk to your vet about what kind of solutions we could put in place in that house to figure out if we need to see the vet or not. But if that cat is urinating outside the litter box, it's definitely a time to go to the vet because there could be something like a urinary tract infection, a stone, or feline idiopathic cystitis that's the reason for that. And there are things that we can do medically to help address those problems. One thing I will mention, Hills has put out this stressometer. So you can just find it at hillspet.com/stress-o-meter. But it's a great little survey. So you can put in information like, is your multi-cat household? How many litter boxes do you have? Lots of different things about the household. And that can help you evaluate if your cat may be stressed and help you make that decision if you need to go see your veterinarian.
At the top, we were talking about nutrition. And yes, you're from Hill's Pet Food. And it's like, how can nutrition impact stress? And I think for a lot of people, you know, they go online and maybe they'll type in stress and they'll see various homeopathics. You know, everyone wants to do things so naturally. So there might be using Rescue Remedy or they'll use some of these feel away products. So the pheromones that they can just plug in and gives off this aromatherapy for cats to be less stressed. But there's different ingredients in foods that can truly make a difference. And I'd love to have you address that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are urinary foods on the market and there's a supplement. There are two ingredients that I want to talk about in particular because these have actually had research studies done to evaluate how they can affect stress in cats. So the first one is L-tryptophan. Now, this is something you probably think about mostly around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's in turkeys,
because
isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So this is an amino acid. It's found in meat. We call it Thanksgiving because of the turkey, but it's found in a lot of different protein sources. But what is cool about this amino acid, it's actually used by the body to make serotonin. And that may sound familiar to you because this is a compound that you see in the brain and it's associated with mood, emotion. So it is a neurotransmitter in the brain. So that amino acid is actually converted to that. So in cats, they've looked at certain doses of this natural amino acid And the study showed that it can affect the frequency of stress-related behaviors and signs of anxiety in cats. So the authors of that study actually concluded that it improved the welfare of the cats in that study. So that's great. It's something that's very natural. It is an amino acid. So that's fantastic. That's something that you can actually find in foods. And in certain therapeutic foods, you'll actually have higher levels than in a normal food for cats.
It would be appropriate that for somebody to get a supplement of L-tryptophan at a supplement store and just give L-tryptophan to a cat. Would that be appropriate?
So I generally prefer adding it into a food or already a pre-purchased supplement, because with human supplements, first of all, you're going to use a small amount. A lot of things for humans and people are going to be, all the dosages are going to be larger amounts. So it's best to have it included in a food. That way, it's already, we know quality control is there.
Plus, you mentioned there's another product also. What was that one?
Oh, it's alpha-cazazepine. So that sounds like a very chemical, fancy name, but it really is just a hydrolyzed milk protein. So the milk protein that's broken down into small pieces. We think about babies, and it's historically known that, you know, milk has a calming effect in babies. They have lots of an enzyme to break down that milk in their stomach, more than adults do. So it's calming in babies, and it's been studied in multiple animal species as well. So in cats, it actually did show that it was helpful in the management of anxiety in cats, including socially stressful situations. So this is two things that are, you know, an amino acid, broken down milk protein, two things that, you know, most people should not have a problem with giving their cats. They're very safe. You're not worried about, you know, those side effects associated with these.
So is that one of the reasons why you get a little bit stressed and sometimes people will say, have yourself a big glass of warm milk before you go to bed? It's just calming.
Yes. Yeah, that same idea. Yes.
And it's interesting. So talking about food and stress, and we know that there are those prescription diets. And oftentimes I think my clients, when I tell them, oh, I want to put you on this prescription diet, I'm sure somewhere in their little brains, they're going, they just want to make money. They're just, you know, selling a pet food. Is that really necessary? You know, I'm feeding this really expensive gourmet food. Why are prescription diets different than regular over-the-counter foods?
Yeah, so the therapeutic foods that are sold by certain companies, they have a lot of research behind them. So these foods and the levels of different nutrients have been studied. So we're looking at, you know, what is the most effective to help manage a certain condition. So if your cat is perfectly healthy, then those foods at the big stores, pet food stores or online, those are perfectly great. But when your cat starts having medical conditions, it's really good to go to your vet and find the food that really we know is going to be a benefit, because some of these foods have had a significant amount of research, and we know that they do work and they are designed to help. Those over-the-counter foods, or, you know, foods just for well pets, they don't have that kind of research for cats with health conditions.
So as I try to explain it to my clients, and you're doing an awesome job of it, is to say this is an adjunct. It's one piece in medications I'm sending home, other things that we're doing, trying to treat that whole animal, and diet is so important with it. And I think kind of a segue with diet, and people that have listened to the show long enough know that I have a real problem with obesity in pets. I know people think, oh, you know, they're just a little chubby, they're cute, you know, they like their food, it's, you know, kind of laugh it off. But obesity even has an issue with bladder problems too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And that's actually one of the things that we have found is a risk factor for urinary issues is excess body weight. So it's so important, even if your pet is overweight right now, to start that weight loss journey as soon as possible, because we want to do everything we can to reduce that risk. And so if your pet's only a little overweight, you know, there are some great more light foods or more weight reduction type foods available that you can just buy from the pet store. But as your pet gets obese and extremely overweight, your vet probably would recommend some kind of therapeutic weight loss program for that cat, because at that point, we need to make sure we get that weight off to reduce risk for other diseases, including things like diabetes. So weight is huge for keeping your pets happy and healthy.
And one of the things, especially with cats, and you can address this, is that if you have a cat that's over, the best thing to do is don't let it get overweight. But if it becomes overweight, then the best thing to do is to gradually, very slowly get that cat to lose weight. Because you and I can put ourselves on the keto diet or the Atkins diet and lose weight that way. But cats can't handle even minimal starvation. So you need to be so careful. Please talk about that a little bit.
Yes. So cats in general, I prefer going very, very slow on weight loss. First of all, you avoid some of the behavior issues with the begging, waking you up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But also, if you cut calories too much on a cat who's really overweight, you could start having liver issues. And that is something we definitely want to avoid. They depend on protein for their energy source. So they need that constant supply of energy. And if you cut their food supply down, you cut their protein supply down. So we really want to make sure that we do it the right way. And that is why working with your vet on weight loss plan is so crucial to make sure you have good success, because they can really help calculate what the right amount of food is for your pet, especially if your pet needs to lose a lot of weight. We want to make sure that we do it safely and effectively.
So Dr. Becky, once your cat has lost weight, it's had its urinary issue, you put it on this special therapeutic diet, do they need to stay on these diets the rest of their lives? I know oftentimes clients are just really hesitant. It's like, oh, I don't want to fix what's not broken. Or they're saying, you know, this stuff isn't the most inexpensive. When can I get off of it? So what's the answer?
So I think a lot of that depends on the individual pet. I think we always, as veterinarians, have to look at the individual patient, the individual case, because every pet's a little different. So for some cats, they end up needing to stay on a weight management food with bladder support for a long period of time because they're so prone to gaining weight. It's kind of like you say, oh, I just look at a cookie and I gain a pound, that type of situation. Some of those do need a food to really manage their weight so that we can keep it off. Other cats, depending on what the urinary issue is, they might only need a urinary food for the rest of their life, or maybe some of them can switch to just a wellness food that a normal healthy cat would eat. But it really depends. I do get concerned anytime a cat has already gained weight that they could bounce back and start gaining that weight back. And it is a long process getting to lose weight. So I really hate to see the family have to go through that weight loss program again with that same cat. So if that's what it takes to keep them the weight off, it's definitely worth it when you start looking at the risks of obesity in cats.
So if you transition them off of food and you find the problems coming back, okay, don't wait too long. Transition them back to the food they were doing well on. Great ideas. Okay, we've been talking about stress in cats. What are some of the general tips that people can use for relieving stress in their cats as we wrap this up?
Yeah, so some things that you can do is making sure you're cleaning that litter box every day. If you have more than one cat, you want to make sure you have more than one litter box. Ideally, an additional one. So if you have two cats, have three litter boxes, that's great. Keep the food well away from that litter box. No one likes to eat in the bathroom. Keep things around to have them play with. So different toys, different interactions. Window seats are fantastic. So if you can have them watch the birds, watch the neighbors, as long as that's not stressing them out, that's a great thing for them. Having perches in the house, so things that they can climb on to get a different view, get the aerial view of the room, that's very helpful. And have a spot where they can have quiet time. So if you have kids, babies in the house, have a spot where they can go relax, enjoy some quiet. I know as a parent, I like having my quiet time too. So have that for them, and make sure if you don't have a scratching post or something that they can, you know, get that natural behavior out, have that added to your house. That can really help keep them healthy and happy.
I think that's wonderful. I try to have all those things for my cats, definitely scooping the box twice a day for my two kids. Tell people to keep their boxes, the three of them, if you have multiple boxes, you know, keep them away from each other so they're not right one on top of the other. It's like, no, you want your own private little potty. And the other thing I've recently done with my own cats, realized YouTube, which I have a system where I can see YouTube on my big TVs, they have these cat games that are awesome. They can watch birds, they can chase feathers or, you know, fake little mice. And my cats now wait for me at night to turn on the TV so they can get their little TV fix. I'm bad. Yes, they watch TV. Dr. Becky, where can people go to get more information on this really important subject?
The Hild website definitely has some great articles. We have our stressometer or stressometer, however you want to say it, on our website to help you kind of look at maybe if you could do things to enrich your cat's environment. And then one other website that I do like is iCatCare.org. Hmm. So this is a great website with a lot of great resources and articles. It's International Cat Care. So there's a lot of specialists who contribute to this website. So definitely worth checking out if you have cat questions. They talk about a wide variety of different cat friendly topics. So definitely worth a browsing.
Great information. So I've had the pleasure of speaking today with Dr. Becky Mullis, the Associate Manager of Scientific Affairs, Hills Pet Nutrition, and adjunct faculty at Kansas State University College of Veterinary Medicine, and new mom and dog owner. Thank you very much, Becky, for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you very much for listening. We're trying to make you the best possible pet owner. Please listen in next week. We'll give you some more tips. Take care, stay well, wear your mask.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.